This is the SF Signal Podcast. I am your host, the host with the most. My name is Patrick Hester, and I'm an author, a blogger, and a Hugo Award winner. And this week, let's see here. I actually have this great idea for a story, but I can't write it because Travis was all, "Hey, remember that time we hung out at Mile High Con?" And I was all, "Yeah." And then he was all, "I've got something I think you listeners would like." And I was all, "Okay, when do you want to get together?" And you're not going to believe this, but he actually said, "Tuesday night when Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on the television." And I was like, "Seriously, Travis? Seriously?"
That's of because course, I Hydra.
Of course, I'm talking about Travis Hearman. And Travis is a freelance writer, novelist, award-winning screenwriter, poker player, poet, biker, roustabout. And Travis Hearman is a graduate of the Odyssey Writing Workshop and the author of the Ronin Trilogy, which I have to confess, I'm kind of sick of at this point, Travis, because I had to put every single one of those promos into an I Should Be Writing episode and listen to them over and over and over. He's also got The Wild Boys and Rogues of the Black Fury. That was the other one. Coming soon from Travis Hearman, author of Rogues of the Black Fury. I remember that.
Rogues of the Black Fury, a new fantasy fiction podcast from Travis Hearman, author of Heart of the Ronin from E-Reads.
Plus short fiction pieces and anthologies and magazines such as Weird Tales, Historical Lovecraft, and Shivers, let's see, 567, V117. As a freelance writer, he has produced a metric ton of role-playing game work, both in print and online, including Legend of Five Rings, D20 System, and the MMORPG EVE Online. He enjoys cycling, martial arts, torturing young minds, and otherworldly ideas and zombies. He has three long-cherished dreams: a produced screenplay, a New York Times bestseller, and a seat in the World Series of Poker. Hi, Travis.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Patrick.
How are you?
I am fabulous, except for this large frog-like amphibian that's stuck somewhere in my esophagus.
And then there's poor John Helfers, who just got sucked into all my drama. He had no idea what he was getting into. Poor John. John is an editor.
I blame Travis. By the way,
John is an editor and an author currently living in Green Bay, Wisconsin. See, now I was born genetically. I'm required to root for the Bears, and you're from Green Bay. That's not good.
Actually, I'm not from Green Bay. I'm actually from Illinois. Okay. Too, but yeah, we moved up here when I was young, so I kind of adopted the state. So there you go.
That's horrible.
But I'm still a Packer, so can't help it. It's a requirement by law here, especially in
I would assume, so. Yeah. Now there was recently an episode of How I Met Your Mother where the Marshall is from Minnesota, and his dad was a lifelong Vikings fan, and he's a lifelong Vikings fan, and he's traveling through Wisconsin, and he's making fun of all the Green Bay fans, and then he does something horrible, and his wife, as punishment, makes him take a picture wearing all the Green Bay paraphernalia, including the cheesehead hat.
That sounds great. I'll have to look that one up. That sounds hilarious.
During John's 16 years working at Techno Books, the largest commercial book packager in the nation, he co-edited more than 20 short story anthologies, as well as overseeing many others for publishers in all genres. I'm terrible at reading things, guys. This is why I rarely do this. He has worked with many well-known authors and co-editors, including, oh, you're going to name drop now, Lawrence Block, Larry Bond, Elizabeth George, Dale Brown, Stephen Kuntz, Nelson DeMille, Charlene Harris, John Jakes, Ann Perry, Jeffrey Deaver, Michael Connelly, Walter J. Boyne, Harold W. Coyle, Mercedes Lackey, Margaret Weiss, Kevin J. Anderson, I know that guy, Ice-T, Richard Belzer, Munch?
Yep, Munch.
Wow. Cool. Yep. He just retired that character.
Oh, well, yeah.
And Max Allen Collins. He has also edited more than 40 novels, including the original edition of Heart of the Ronin, which I mentioned I was getting sick of on I Should Be Writing, and published more than 40 short stories and anthologies, game books, and novels for the Dragonlance, Transformers, Battletech, and Shadowrun universes. He has written both fiction and nonfiction, including the third novel in the first authorized trilogy based on the Twilight Zone. Did you see that Straczynski is doing a Twilight Zone comic book?
I did not see that.
Yeah.
See just, that was one of my first projects ever published, actually.
And so, the YA novel, Tom Clancy's Net Force Explorers Cloak and Dagger, We Do Miss You, Sir, and A History of the United States Navy. Hi, John.
Hi, Patrick. Great to be here. So glad to be with you and Travis tonight.
See, you guys are the reason why I don't read bios.
Well, I didn't think you were going to read all the names, but I appreciate that you did. That's very nice. So that's my standard bio paragraph. But it's true. I've worked with all those people, and it's been a lot of fun.
If I hadn't read them, I never would have known you'd worked with Munch.
See, there you go. That's true. You just would have skimmed over all the names to skip it. Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun. We did two novels with him. It's called I Am Not a Cop and I Am Not a Psychic, and they're both still available, and they were a lot of fun.
What I always find interesting about Belzer is he's played that same character on multiple shows on multiple networks.
I think he's holds the record because it was in Homicide and he was in one other one and now he was in Law and Order and he just kept moving along, which I think is great.
He also played that character on a sitcom.
Really?
Like he had a one shot on a sitcom where he came in as the police and was Munch on that one. Yeah. So yeah, forever he's been doing that character.
It's been a good career for him. So yeah. You know. But we're not here to talk about him. We're here to talk about Travis and my anthology.
So you guys have not enough on your plate. So you decided to do an anthology. Whose idea was it?
Mine.
Travis, all you, buddy.
Yeah. I was at Dragon. I sort of hatched this idea, I don't know, maybe in late July or August. And then John and I were both at Dragon Con this year, and we discussed it and it sort of all started coming together that weekend.
Yeah?
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
You know what else came together that weekend?
Nope. What?
one of the worst strains of con crud ever, because people were going back and forth between Dragon Con and World Con. Someone brought all the bugs together and created a super bug. It was like the super virus of all super viruses.
Wow.
2 years in a row that crap has happened.
Okay, they got to install a strict quarantine. That's all that has to – I mean, that's nuts, though, to go from one to the other in the same weekend. Oh, man. It's crazy.
Wow. And then the virus, all mutated and went off to form its own civilization somewhere in the sewers of, exactly, of yeah. Atlanta and San Antonio. Yeah.
Yep. So it's going to come back.
I was mildly ill, but I didn't come down with anything worse, thank goodness, but it wasn't too bad. So, Dragon Con was great. We came away with a great idea, and we've been working on it ever since.
So Travis, as an author, what made you decide you wanted to do editing on an anthology?
I went to Dean Wesley Smith's and Christine Catherine Rush's anthology workshop in March. And actually, John was there for that. He was one of the editors on those projects. And, sort of sitting there, with the other attendees, sort of watching what Chris and Dean and John and Carrie Hughes were doing. Yeah, John's wife, Carrie, were doing. It's like, that's pretty cool. And it sort of lit a fire under me as something that I'd like to try.
Very cool.
Well, if I can jump at the end of that, Patrick, the what he's talking about is a project that Dean and Chris have been doing for the past 8 months now called Fiction River, which they've gotten back into editing anthologies. They call it an original anthology magazine. It's a volume they have one every month. Mine was called How to Save the World, and it features Travis's fantastic story, Deus Ex Machina, as well as folks like David Gerald, Bill Keith, Laura Resnick, and Dean Smith, Annie Reed, Chris Rush. So it's a blatant plug for that. It's available online. You can get it in print format and Amazon, I think Kobo, I think all the major electronic places. So, but Travis was there. It was great to see him. And yeah, I guess he has a higher tolerance for pain and agony than I thought, because he wants to start editing now. So there you go.
Well, the good thing about being an editor is if a story isn't working for you, you can just put it down, as opposed to being in a critique group. Excuse me.
Well, that's true.
Where it's sort of your job to read the whole thing if a story's not working for you.
Yeah, but then you have the bad news of having to break it to the writer.
Right.
Hopefully, face to face. Well, no. Well, yeah, actually. I got to tell you, doing that up front, and we had 30 people, so it was a lot, and it can be heartbreaking to tell people that, this was so close, but it didn't quite do what I wanted.
Yeah, that was my other story that weekend.
It's tough to look someone in the eye, but you got to do it. I mean, it's a crucible for everybody, for the editors as well, because you're not just, I'm dashing off an email. It's right to the person and say, I wanted to like this, and here's what didn't work about it for me. Since you had four different editors, you had four different opinions. So it was interesting. It always is interesting.
I wanted to like this, and then as I was sitting there clawing my eyes out,
we're never that quite that direct.
What was really interesting about that whole weekend was sort of listening to those four editors. Chris and Dean were doing it as sort of pretending to be the editors of Fantasy and Science Fiction magazine and Pulp House, respectively. And they were sort of, giving us feedback that we may have gotten from when they were at those publications, right? So hearing all the four different editors talk about the same stuff was really interesting and also really validating for me, because a lot of what they were saying, you know, was right in line with my perceptions of the stories that they were talking about. So that was really educational.
So you go there and you see them doing this and you think, I want to be on the other side of the table.
Yeah, I want to see what it's like.
Well, also every person there read everyone else's story too. Okay. As I recall. Is that correct? That's right, Travis, didn't
you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you all got a chance to see when they were talking about someone else's story, you got to see, it was like, oh yeah, I remember that. Either I liked it or I didn't like it. And the opinions varied, of course. Mm-hmm. But yes, Travis apparently has gotten bitten by the editing bug, and I'm here to help him. Help him, yes. I'm helping him. Yes, that's right.
So,
I am helping him, and I'm glad to do so.
And so was the idea for it's called Cars, Cards, and Carbines.
Correct.
And now, did that spring forth from your brain, Travis?
Yes.
So let me guess. You're cruising down I-25 on your motorcycle, and you just go, oh, I got this.
I don't remember exactly when or how it came to me, but you might not be far off there. More correctly, as I was like mired in, you know, non-moving traffic on I-25.
Travis is a recent transplant to Denver, and it's great because you can actually look on Google Maps and it says, oh, this will take you 12 minutes on I-25.
It's a lie.
Yeah, 45 minutes later.
Yeah, you have you sitting in non-moving traffic playing video poker with your gun rack behind you on the
on the motorcycle.
Like, on the motorcycle. Well, yeah, I suppose so. Like, yeah, I never did ask you how you came about it. I knew it was like, wow, that's a really great idea, and I think there's a lot of people who'd like to write for it. So,
I sort of envision this as you know, I've been percolating on some, you know, anthology ideas for a while, and there have been several that have come and gone, and this is the one that really stuck with me, because I got to thinking about, okay, what sort of things make a cool story for me? What am I missing about the stories that are coming through the industry? And I'm like, well, I'm not seeing a lot of just adventure or pulpy sort of stuff. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right place. I don't know. But this sort of all just kind of came to me at once. Because I'm a word geek, so I like alliteration. Okay, hot rods. Okay, that sounds pretty cool. I love poker. Okay, like that too. And what can we throw in there? Okay. And then it just sort of, how can we get guns in there? Okay, carbines. Carbines. That's a good way to say it all. So that's sort of how the idea came together.
And when did you pitch it to John?
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about it at Dragon Con and he seemed to think it was a good idea too. So here we are.
Okay. So John, now Travis pitches you this idea for this anthology. What's your first reaction?
Well, I definitely like the title. And it's that's not the whole reason to go for one, but the concept has to be intrinsically appealing to me. And to be blunt, I think he nailed it. It's a great idea. It has diversity. So authors, you can guarantee that among the authors, you're never going to get a story that's probably even remotely similar. And it's just, it's a solid, it's an idea that both for an editor and I think an author starts the wheel spinning, like, oh, this would be cool, or maybe I've taken this iteration, or what if we get something from, you know, this author who I think would be perfect for this. Mm-hmm. And it's just possibilities. The possibilities are very, very wide, and that's what really appealed to me about it.
Yeah, that was what, actually all of the several of the authors said to me as I'm describing this idea to them. They're like saying to me, oh, wow, the wheels are already turning. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've already approached some names to kind of be the names on the cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a list of lead authors at this point, I'm pretty happy with how that all came together.
Can you tell us what those names are?
Sure. We've got Kevin J. Anderson, Christine Catherine Rush, Dean Wesley Smith, David B. Coe / D.B. Jackson, E.C. Ambrose, Nancy Holder, Mer Lafferty.
Sean and McGuire's in there.
How do you say, is it Jay Bonansinga?
Yeah. I hope I don't slaughter this myself. Yeah, I believe it's Jay Bonansinga. That's how I heard him pronounce it.
So basically, you went out and got a bunch of B-listers. I see how you are.
Hey, Sean is a New York Times bestseller. Nancy's a New York Times bestseller. Kevin
I'm
is a multiple
teasing.
New York. Yeah, so I know.
I know almost all of these people personally. I've met them all. So.
Oh, great. Okay.
that's funny. So now you're doing a Kickstarter.
Yes.
And is this okay? So you've got people who go out and they do Kickstarters, and then they find a publisher, or they find a publisher and say, "Hey, we're going to kickstart this. If we do, are you willing to publish it?" How are you guys doing this? Who wants to answer, Travis or John?
Travis has to answer because I'm relying on him because of his work with Ronan.
So. Okay,
right. Over the course of the Kickstarter that I did earlier this year, I sort of went through all this process of setting up my own little publishing company. Okay. So we're going to put it out through my own publishing company, with John and I as the editors.
Okay,
which is called
Red Bear Publishing.
There you go.
Alrighty, so Red Bear is going to put it out.
Exactly.
Okay. And what's the plan as far as the Kickstarter is concerned? Are you doing stretch goals? Are you doing? I mean, what's the rewards? What are you looking for?
Well, we've got a ton of rewards already set up. The idea is that the stretch goals will initially increase the pay rate of the authors.
Good.
We're gonna start at 7 cents a word, and you know, and if it go and if all goes well, get up to 10 cents a word. And then beyond that, we're going to start adding length onto the book so we can add what we're calling wild card slots, where we have a secondary list of published pros who are lined up to submit stories for possible wild card placements. For the rewards tiers, we're talking about we're gonna do an ebook, trade paperback, and a limited edition hardcover that will only be available to backers, to Kickstarter backers. And some of the other rewards include there's a lot of story. Several of the authors are going to do story critiques, or John and I will critique your novel for you. Several authors have offered Tuckerization slots. If you don't know what Tuckerization means, it's when the author basically writes your name into the story. And Sean McGuire made it, you know, said to make it clear that, you know, if she Tuckerizes you, you will die a heinous death in her story.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's actually more amusing to me right now simply because I just spent a lot of time with her at Mile High.
Yeah, she was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The character will likely die.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was quite humorous. Like, yeah, I'm sure someone, and I expect that one to be snapped up. I expect someone's going to say, one of her fans will say, I want to die in a Shauna McGuire story. And she will make it come true. So there you go.
Yeah.
But we have people like Nancy Holder will critique a short story of someone's. Nick Mamatas, I think
I forgot. Yes. I'm sorry. Apologies to Nick. I forgot to mention him.
Yeah. Mer Lafferty reviews. So there's a wide variety for a fairly, you know, that's a fairly inexpensive tier, all things considered, to get these. And it's just one of the ways that, you know, it's not just for fans, but it's also for aspiring writers who want to get, you know, maybe a little bit more professional guidance, more or less.
Cool. Now, I got a question for you, John. You know, Travis comes to you and he wants to do this, and you're like, sure. And he's never actually edited an anthology before. So, it's possible for you to sucker him by just having him do all the work, but you saying, yeah, you're only doing half, you know, I'm doing all this other stuff, right?
Well, that's possible, but that will not be happening.
Well, how are we supposed to
know? You just take care of it. I'll slap my name on the cover next year is when you're done. No, because what I'm going to be giving Travis is, to be honest, a crash course in editing short fiction, too. Now, I know he's written a bunch of it, but writing and editing are two different things.
Yes.
Straight up. There's no other way to say it. And I look forward to working with him on it because it'll be interesting to see what his take on a story is versus what mine are. Now, we're, like you said, going for, you know, the majority are our previously published authors. That I expect to have fantastic stories from all of them. Oh, Jay Lake. We forgot Jay Lake, too.
Oh, jeez. God, yes. Jay Lake. Oh, and Ken Scholes.
There you go.
They're also on the table of contents.
On the roster. Cool. Yeah, exactly. Cool. So it's, but no, I'm now, granted, I will say that Travis is doing the bulk of the work on the Kickstarter, although I have helped with, you know, editing the letters and making sure people will get back to us and things like that. But he's doing most of the heavy lifting, but then again, he's also done that too, and I'm hoping to learn as much from him since I'll be participating in trying to promote that as well and get it out to, you know, authors and get word out from people. I'm sorry, to people. So I'll be learning how that goes in the next 30 days once that launches too. So I'm, because at some point I may be doing one of those myself. So we'll see.
Well, that was my next question. If this goes well, are you guys planning on doing 6 or 12 of these a year?
we're a ways from that. This one will be a good learning experience for us. And yeah, I agree. We will see. And if he's willing to have me back and I'm willing to have him back and we don't hate each other by the end, which I'm sure will not happen. I'd love to work with Travis again.
All right. So you're both going to read every story.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you're gonna say these are mine that I like, and he's gonna say these are mine that I like, and then do we hear the Mortal Kombat voice? Do we hear the Mortal Kombat voice going fight?
Well,
I suspect that there will be overlap.
A lot of it. I mean, it's my expectation that every author will give us certainly an above the bar story. Now, the fighting will probably come when we want to do the table of contents, but I fully, the names that we've both put together, I can't wait to see them actually, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't see anyone's going to be, oh, this one, and you know, I do this kind of work for every anthology I handle. I also, the ones I've been doing lately is that the Elemental Masters one for Mercedes Lackey, and set in her world of this Elemental Masters magic world, I read every story and I edit them before they go to her. So I work with every author and say, here, let's fix this up. This needs changing, you know, and take care of that. And there's going to be back and forth with these authors, too. If I do a line edit on every story, if it's good and I don't need to, I don't. But every writer, myself included, Travis, Patrick, everyone, I believe, firmly needs an editor at least at some point during the process. So
yeah, I completely agree.
I still hope to have a story that is like near perfect, although Travis was pretty darn close, come to think of it. But for Odyssey of the World, but I still have not found one that's perfect as written that I have not suggested any changes yet.
Yeah, but so. all of Travis's, they make it through 16 rounds of the critique groups first. So I take full credit for his.
Well, there you go. Oh, that's the secret. By Patrick's the secret behind your work, Travis. Like, now it all becomes
right.
Clear. Well, you have a hell of a critique group then. Let me tell you that, because you're putting out some good work.
The thing is that particular story was written in 3 days and never critiqued by anybody.
I know. I'm teasing him.
Well, then even more impressive. So
what's the website? Do we have a website for this?
Not yet. website for the publisher at this point is Red Bear Books, but with hyphens between the words. Red-Bear-Books. We'll be setting that up here very soon. We're still in the process of putting the Kickstarter together.
Okay, so people go to Kickstarter and they just search for cars, cards, and carbines or carbines, and they'll find it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
you could also search for my name, or probably John Helfer's name also. Okay. That's how you'll find it.
Okay, gotcha. And let's do this real quick, because I know we're running out of time, but I want to know. John, do you have your own website that you would like people to know about?
I do, but it's unfortunately currently under construction, so I can't send anyone there.
Well, what about Facebook, Twitter? Do you do the social medias?
I am on Facebook. Yes, you can find me there. I don't twit or tweet or whatever they call it. I am on LinkedIn. Actually, there's a pretty good record of my stuff on LinkedIn as well. It's strange how I've been kind of defaulting to that as my, well, if you want to find out more about what I do, LinkedIn is actually the best reference for me right now. But I am also on Facebook, so those work. And the website is coming, I promise.
And if someone wanted to go to Amazon right now and find something of yours and read it, what should they look for?
Well, I'm still gonna pitch the Fiction River Anthology, How to Save the World. A lot of my work has been tie-in stuff, so it's not really... The other anthology that I'm really proud of is the Shadow Run Anthology, Spells in Chrome. If people like, you know, near future magic and cybernetics all mixed together, that one's a good one, available from Catalyst Game Labs.
Okay. YA novel, the Tom Clancy thing, Net Force Explorers Cloak and Dagger, is that a mashing of the Tom Clancy universe and the Marvel Comics universe, Cloak and Dagger?
No. No, it's not.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I understand. It's probably out of print anyway, so it doesn't matter. Although that would have been kind of cooler than the idea we did.
And Travis, I know you have a website.
I do have a website. And my author website is travishearman.com. And I've got a blog there, and I'm also all over Facebook and Twitter. So I'm a pretty easy guy to find on the net.
Do you want to spell Hearman?
My last name is spelled H-E-E-R-M-A-N-N. People always spell it wrong. They either drop an E or add an R or drop an N. But H-E-E-R-M-A-N-N.
And if you go back in the archives of I Should Be Writing, you could totally find those promos.
Cool.
And Travis, is there, I know the Sword of the Ronin, you just came out with another book. Is that the latest thing you've published? So if folks wanted to find something of yours on Amazon, is that what you'd point them to?
Yes. My most recent novel is Sword of the Ronin. It's the second book in my Ronin trilogy, which is 13th century Japan, samurai, ninjas, demons, shape-shifting critters, Mongol invasions, that sort of thing.
Did you ever play like the strategy board games like Risk?
Oh yeah, I played there was
samurai.
One called Shogun,
yes!
And
Shogun.
Later called Samurai Swords.
Yes.
Yes. Great.
Yes.
Game. Great.
I loved that game. I loved that game. And I loved it because, number one, we would always say daimyo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And daimyos. That is correct.
And, oh, yeah. And then we no one ever wanted to hire the ninjas, which is sad.
And poor ninjas give them no love.
And it always took us at least 20 minutes extra to set up the game because we would be fighting with the little swords.
Because your Mortal Kombat version,
you had all these little plastic swords, and each one had a number on it, and that's how you would draw the swords to see who would go first and in what order.
And, the order of play.
Yeah, and then we would fight with those swords first because, of course, they were like way bigger than the ones that your parents would bring home from the bar and the cocktails, the little plastic swords.
And so wait, was that the only point of those swords, was to draw to see who went first?
Yes. And then they sat on the little thing in front of you. And then they sat on the...
You had a little stand, and you could put them on the stand in front of you, and it had a little number on them to say who got to go first and who got to go second. And you drew them out of somebody's hand like straws.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's funny. That's quite the prop, just to see the order of, mm-hmm. of battles.
Oh, yes. It was cool.
Yeah, it was
such a great game.
Too. Yeah, and then you had your army on the little card, and you had your shoguns, and they would have... lancemen or spearmen. They would have
archers.
And didn't they have guys with guns?
Arquebusiers.
Yeah.
Cavalry, I presume.
I don't know. There wasn't anything on horses.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, the biggest badasses were the samurai.
Yeah, the samurai.
Okay.
Then you had a general. You always had a general who had the flag. Mm.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and you know, it was such a fun game.
I was going to ask Travis, and I'm going to put a shout out for Sword of the Ronin. I spoiler alert, I was the editor on the project, but still, it was an amazing read. Jeez, for an editor, you think I'd be able to use English better? I was going to ask Travis or Patrick if you guys ever played the role playing game Legend of the Five Rings.
Well, of course, I used to write for Legend of the Five Rings.
There you go. Okay,
right. I have not. No, I did not.
Oh,
sorry.
It was a fantastic feudal Japan role-playing games, just tremendous.
Japan-like, yeah.
Well, Japan, yes, true. Japan like Rokugan, as I recall. So, but yeah, Japan-esque, yep. Sure.
Oh, you just reminded me that you, in order to buy armies and expand stuff, you had to pay with Roku.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Koku.
Was it Koku? Yeah. Koku.
It should have been Koku to be accurate. Yes.
Yes. True. It was the little red. It was a little red coins with a square in the middle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that yep. Empty square. No, but I did have one of my friends bought the. I forget what they called it. It was Forgotten Realms, but it was like the Asian Forgotten Realms.
Oriental Adventures.
Oriental Adventures. Yes, yes. Yep. That's what he bought because he really wanted a character out of that.
Yeah, that's taking me back to like Second Ed. That's like going back forever and a day. It was a lot of fun, though. It was a lot of fun if you get past the charts and the charts and the charts and the more charts, but it was a good time. I thought they captured the flavor of that kind of, you know, mythological and historical era quite well, in my opinion. So
yes, it was very cool. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Is there anything you want to tell our listeners before I let you go? Travis?
Look for our Kickstarter, Parsed Carbines.
Very cool. John?
Without your support, it will not happen.
Yeah, that's right, because it's got to be funded for everybody to get paid, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's got to be funded to happen.
Yep.
For the anthology to come out, exactly. Go check out fictionriver.com for the anthologies that Chris Rush and Dean Smith are putting out, including my How to Save the World, which is in e-bookstores and available on print on demand from Amazon right now.
Very cool. Well, thank you, guys.
Patrick, thanks so much.
Thank you, Patrick. It's been awesome.
Yep. A pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the SF Signal podcast. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the link to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com, and you can also search SF Signal in iTunes to find the feed. To comment about this or any of our podcast episodes, please call our voicemail line at 720-277-9082. If you enjoyed this podcast, help us boost the signal by telling your friends. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal Irregulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melts featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SFNF field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, new author spotlights, movie reviews, videos, science fiction, fantasy, and horror tidbits, free fiction roundups, and the new genre-related crowdfunding roundups. Click the RSS button in the sidebar to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo?
Angry robot.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.